Stoke. I'm sure half of you are wondering, I hear a Scottish accent or a Northern Irish accent or a Ukrainian accent. You probably don't know where I'm from, but I'll go through that as I go into my testimony. But I just want to say thank you so much for the invitation to come back. We have just returned home from Ukraine, so it's been a very busy period in our lives, but praise the Lord that we can do that. I also want to thank you for the wonderful gift that you sent to us for Faith in Action Missions to buy the Trans World Radios. And that went a long way to buying many Trans World Radios and Bibles to put into the hands of the people out there in the villages of Ukraine and the prisons of Ukraine and in so many other places. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much for that gift, that love gift for the Lord's work in Ukraine. It went such a long way. And because of your love and your support, many people today have a Bible of their own. Many of them have a Trans World Radio where they can listen to the teaching of God's Word and the ministry of the Gospel daily, whenever they want to, because the people who are getting them, they're elderly, sick people who can't read anymore. Maybe they can't read at all, or their eyesight is getting bad. So we reached into the villages to make sure that even out as far as that, where there's no churches, now they can be ministered to do daily. There's a little memory card that goes into the Trans World Radios, and on that memory card, there's 3 months of solid Bible teaching, very good Bible teaching and gospel preaching. So the people who are without churches and without Bibles now have them. And thanks to you. So thank you so much, brothers and sisters. We will be eternally grateful for your love and for the support that you have been there. Thank you to Pastor David for allowing me to come back to the pulpit. It's no easy thing to allow another man into your pulpit. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much. We just returned home from Ukraine recently. And the Lord is blessing us so much over there. Before I come to my testimony, this is what I'm doing now. So it's an ongoing thing, your testimony. You see, it's not just how you get saved and then you sit down and relax. It's an ongoing thing. You never stop. Only death stops you when you're saved and you're serving the Master. In Ukraine, we have that great door opened into the prisons. There's 180 prisons in Ukraine, and all of them have opened the door for the gospel. And praise the Lord, we have access into men and women who have committed the most horrendous crimes that you can imagine, murdering children, and the list is endless to what these people have done. But the grace of God is reaching them. There's nobody too bad for the Lord. There's nobody beyond His love and nobody beyond His grace. And we are seeing this daily as men and women from all walks of life are coming. They're believing in Him. They're repenting. They're turning from their old life and their sin, and they're following after Jesus Christ. And because of that work in the prisons, they're now being baptized in the prisons. There's Bible studies in all the prisons. There's testimony groups. There's choirs. So the believers are numerous in the prison system, and they're making up all of these different organizations like Bible studies and so on. So great things are happening within the prison system. And as well as that, we started a farm ministry way out as far as the Russian border. And through the farm ministry, you see, it's like going back in England maybe 500 years, where people were living in little wooden shacks where they never had anything. There was no materialism in those days. And many people, they're living in those dire situations. No shops in the corner and on the Russian border. They have to live off the land. And many people are poor, they starve, and they're very hungry, and they really struggle with life. So we're able to go with the farm ministry now, and we're able to feed the people and help them and be a blessing to them. But the real goal is to reach them and win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's great that we can feed people and clothe people and do what the Bible commands us to do, but it's even better when you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and give them hope, not only for now, but for eternity. And that's our goal, to reach the people with the gospel. We have access up to the war zone in the east of Ukraine. We can go into the trenches if we want, on the front line, as the Ukrainian army are fighting Russian rebels there. We have access to go in there to minister to the Ukrainian army, not to fight. We're not taking arms up or anything like that. That's the only weapon we have, the sword. And we go to the people, the Ukrainian army, we minister to the people on the border there. Sadly, there are many people died today because of the troubles in eastern Ukraine. A number of pastors have been taken and put to death through the Russian rebels. Elders from the Baptist churches, deacons from Baptist churches have been put to death and tortured by these Russian rebels. But a wonderful thing happened not too long ago that one Russian rebel came to the door of the Baptist church and he said, "Pastor, can you feed me?" He said, "I'm hungry." And he says, "Come back at 7 o'clock, but no gun." So he came back at 7 o'clock and he had to sit through 2 hours of the gospel first. And then they fed him. And that went okay. So away he went. About 5 days later, he came back again. He said, "Pastor, I'm really hungry. Could you feed me again?" He said, "Same again, 7 o'clock, no guns." So he came in and he sat through 2 hours of the gospel this time and got saved. And it was wonderful that this Russian rebel who was out killing people, the gospel spoke to him, the Holy Spirit ministered to his heart, and he repented and turned away from everything that was going on and put his trust in the Savior. And the pastor says to him, "Now," he said, "God is working on your inside. I will work on the outside. We'll take that Russian rebel uniform off and we'll dress you like a Christian." So that's the things that are happening. That's just a couple of little things. Because we work with so many sick and elderly, we built the first Christian care home in Ukraine. It just opened in November. And many sick and many elderly people who are dying without the Lord are now being brought into this care home. And they're being loved, they're being looked after, they're being helped. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. There's no life like the life of following Christ. It's wonderful. And for many years, I didn't follow Christ. I followed after the devil and the devil's ways, the world's ways. I had no interest in the Lord. But 26 years ago, I met Jesus Christ for the very first time. I heard the gospel once, and praise the Lord, he saved my soul. He forgave my sins, and he called me into his work and into his ministry. I was actually born just outside Glasgow, in between Glasgow and Loch Lomond. William's from the Vale. He lives just 10 minutes down the road from where I used to live. And I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family at that time. But you know something? We have to read the scripture first. So we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is a portion of scripture that the Lord really spoke to me through when I was an unbeliever. He spoke to me through this so powerfully. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to begin the reading at verse 23, where the word of God says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." And we know that the Lord will bless that reading from his word. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again that your word is forever settled in heaven, and at the same time how that faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Father, we pray that you will help me tonight, that you will bless the testimony of your saving grace and your keeping power, how that you're able to save us to the uttermost, all who come unto Christ. Father, no matter how bad we are in our lives, no one is beyond the reach of God. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that tonight that you'll give us ears to hear, that you'll give our brothers and our friends here eyes that would see, that you would give them hearts that would be obedient unto the call of the gospel. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father, be with us tonight. If there's one here tonight, Father, still outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we ask that you will speak to them. and that by the end of this meeting that they will come and they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you'll change everything for them and give them a life, Father, worth living. So, Father, be with us and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God spoke to me through this passage of Scripture, so it's very, very precious to me. And it's my heart's desire tonight that God would speak to you through something, not that I say, but something that the Holy Spirit would speak to you as I would give my testimony. I was born in Dumbarton in Scotland. I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family. It was a Roman Catholic family with alcohol problems. Alcohol was the main problem within my family. Very serious problem within my family in Scotland. And to date, I have lost 13 members of my family through alcoholism. The 13th member of my family passed away recently through alcoholism. So I know all about alcoholism because I was there myself. But for the grace of God, I could have been number 14. But God stepped into my life and he was a blessing to me. I want to say this, that if there's anyone here tonight and that you are struggling with alcohol, that if you do have that alcohol problem, you know something, you're not going to shake it off. It just doesn't go away. It will take you to the grave. It will kill you, and it will kill you slowly. And it will destroy your life. It will destroy your family's life. It will destroy your wife's life and your children's life. Alcoholism kills, and it does it very, very slowly, destroying everything on the way down. I know, I've seen it happening, and it's still happening within my family today. If you have that problem with alcohol, I know the one that can help you. Jesus Christ can help you, and I'll tell you a little bit as I go through this. So if you have a problem with alcohol, don't despair. I've got the cure. I've got the cure for that alcohol problem. Jesus Christ is the one who can help you. Even though those problems were going on in my family, my mother tried to bring me up as a Roman Catholic within the chapel. Went to the Catholic school. Every Saturday morning she would send me along to the confessional box where I would go in and confess my sins to the priest. The priest would then tell me to go in peace, that my sins were now forgiven. But you know, as I used to think back then, that I don't remember ever leaving the confessional box in peace. I always felt a heavier burden when I left the confessional box, because the Word of God tells us, and I didn't know this then, but the Word of God tells us, who can forgive our sins but God only? Only God has the right to hear our confession, and only God has the right to forgive our sins. No man, no woman, no church, no organization can forgive our sins. It doesn't matter what you're told, friends. The Word of God is our authority, and the Word of God tells us that only God can forgive our sin. All of these things were taking place. I continued to do that for many years. I would also find myself sitting in the chapel at 8:30 in the morning before I went to school. Going into the chapel was an escape for me. It was getting away from my family with all the problems. So I used to leave for school early and go in and sit. And I would sit and pray to Mary or one of the saints. And it was a place of escape for me at that time. I didn't realize that these things don't hear you, because I started to question this. Do these icons hear me? Because I was praying to them. Nothing was changing in my life. Nothing was changing in my family's life. It was getting worse. And I questioned this act of idolatry. That's what it's called. And the Word of God totally forbids it. The making of any images in heaven, earth, beneath the earth. And he forbids us for bowing down to them and worshipping them and praying to them. I didn't know that at the time. So when I got saved and I read that, I was totally shocked, absolutely shocked, because my family still do this. They still pray to these icons and these statues of Mary and all of the other things that they pray to. And I started to question this. Does this thing hear me? And at that time, I didn't receive an answer. It wasn't until I got saved that the Lord turned me to Psalm 115. And if you're ever talking to a Roman Catholic, this is a wonderful psalm to turn them to. Psalm 115 tells us that these icons and these statues, they were made of silver and they're made of gold. Today they're made of absolutely anything, anything that will make money for the Catholic Church. They're made of paper, they're made of wood, they're made of all sorts of things. But the Word of God says they have ears, but they cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. And those who worship them and those who make them are just like unto them. Friends, they can do nothing for you. Why should we settle for second best when we have a God in heaven who loves us, who cares for us? And he's only a prayer away, as we would say. He's waiting to hear that prayer, that first prayer of repentance. A lot of people use God as a toy. They think they can go to him and pray to him when they're in trouble or when they need something, but God will never be used like that. The first prayer that God hears, I believe, is the sinner's prayer. The prayer of repentance. That day when we acknowledge that we are sinners and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive us, God will hear us then and then thereafter. But before that, we can't use God just whenever we feel like, hey, Lord, help me to win the lottery, or Lord, help give me a better golf swing. God will never be used, and it's blasphemy to even go down thinking things like that. So brothers and sisters and friends, the Lord is the only one who can help us. I was coming away from the Roman Catholic Church at that time. By the time I reached 18 years of age, I joined the army, and I was in the King's Own Scottish Borderers at the time, and they transferred me to Northern Ireland. Lots of problems, as you know, with terrorism, people dying in terrible ways in Northern Ireland. And I was in the army for a number of years over there. I left the army. I stayed in Northern Ireland, so that says a lot for me, doesn't it? I stayed in Northern Ireland, but you know something? They weren't all terrorists. Wonderful people, beautiful people, lovely Christian people, many of them. And we stayed in Northern Ireland. I met my wife there. And then I joined the police. So I was in the police for 24 years in Northern Ireland. And throughout those years, I had adopted this alcohol problem of my father. And I was a heavy, very heavy drinker at that time. But even though that existed, now when I look back on my life, I can see God's hand leading my life through very dangerous situations within Northern Ireland. When I was staying amongst let's just say, the Unionist or the Protestant communities in Northern Ireland, because you were safer there. You couldn't live in a Catholic community if you were a policeman, you would have been put to death. But we lived amongst the Protestant people. But when things went wrong, then the Protestant people would have turned on the policemen. And that's what happened to myself and my family. We had to move home. They came around that they were going to put me on top of the bonfire because I was a policeman and so on. They smashed all of the windows in the house and they terrorized my children, my wife. And the police came, and it was a very speedy removal. It was the quickest removal, I think, in history. We were out within about an hour and moved into a safe house somewhere else. So it paid its price. There was a price to serving in the police within Northern Ireland. For 18 of those years, I looked after Ian Paisley. Do you remember Ian Paisley? He's now in the glory with the Lord. He was a very good Christian man, but a politician at the same time, which we'll not go into. But we all know Ian Paisley. But you know something? Many, many, many souls he led to Jesus Christ through his ministry. But there was different things going on, the undercurrents of all of those things, which we're not really that interested in. But I looked after him and protected him and his family for 18 years throughout those times. And a number of times he had to step in with a terrorist to save my life. So he saved my life on a number of occasions also. So all of these things were happening. I wasn't a believer at that time. But then this new Christian came to the police station where I worked. And the minute that he walked through the door of the police station, everybody was turned to look at him, and he called out to them all, "I'm a born-again Christian." And I started laughing, and so did everybody else. I don't know what I was laughing about. I didn't even know what a born-again Christian was. But I started to laugh anyway with the rest of the policemen. And Joe took his stand for the Lord immediately walking through that door. And it turned out that he lived 2 minutes from my house. So we started traveling back and forward in the car together. And he would tell me all about his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would tell him what the priest used to teach me and so on. And it was wonderful. Those times were great. Although I was trying to rebel against everything that he was telling me, I remember he says to me one time, you know, as a Roman Catholic, he says, do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know that you have eternal life? And I says, well, you can't know that. Nobody can know if they're going to be in heaven. Maybe they'll go to purgatory. Maybe they'll go somewhere else, but nobody can know that they're saved. And you know something, brothers and sisters? That is so wrong. The Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if we believe in the name of the Son of God, that we shall know, you listening? That we shall know that we have eternal life abiding in us. We can know. We can know if our sins are forgiven today. We can know if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can know if we're saved, born again, if we became a true believer. And we can know before we leave this building today. And that's on the authority of the Word of God. One of the greatest passages in Scripture, John 3:16, you know it so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, then you have everlasting life. If you don't believe in him, then you stand condemned, and there's no hope for you at the moment. But there is hope. Jesus Christ died to give you hope. So I was going through all of this with this new Christian that I had met. At the end of about 2 years, I was working with him one day. And he wasn't talking to me because I'd been drinking that day, and it had fallen out with me. So I was getting peace and quiet that day. He wasn't telling me about his Savior. And as I sat there, the Lord turned my attention to him, and I sat and I looked at him, and I thought, this fella is, I've never met anybody like this guy. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, doesn't use bad language, he doesn't go out with the boys for a drink, he reads his Bible, he goes to churches, he's always talking about Jesus Christ. I've never met anybody like this, because I had never been in a church in my life, so I didn't know these things. And that led me to ask him the first question that I had ever asked anyone. And I says to him, Joe, you called yourself a born-again Christian. What is that? What does that mean? And he jumped to his feet. He said, are you serious? Really, do you want to know? And I said, of course I want to know. And he said, first of all, do you believe that you're a sinner? And friends, I want to ask you the same questions that he asked me. Number one, he said, do you believe that you're a sinner? And I want to ask you that question. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yes? Do you believe that we're all sinners? Of course we are. Because the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. There is none good. We're all sinners, every single one of us. And I say, yes, I believe that. He says, praise the Lord, he said, because now you can be saved. He said, you know, if you're sitting here tonight and you say, well, I'm not a sinner, and I've met them in Ukraine, I've met them in Northern Ireland, people who say, no, I'm nothing wrong with me, I've not sinned, you can't be saved. You will end up in hell because you're not acknowledging your sin. The first step of salvation is acknowledging that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. The second question he asked me was, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins? I said, yes, I do believe that. And friends, I want to ask you that same question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross for your sin? Make it personal. Not just for the church, but he died for you. He died for you. He died for you upon that cross. And I said, yes, I do believe that. Thirdly, he says, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead on the third day? And I say, yes, I believe that also. Friends, do you believe that he rose again from the dead? The Word of God tells us that he was seen many times after the resurrection, and by more than 500 people at one time saw him alive after he had risen from the dead. And I said, yes, I believe that he rose again from the dead. He says, that's great. Now you can be saved. And brothers and sisters, friends, the Word of God tells us that if we will believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We can be saved tonight before we leave here simply by believing with our heart and confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who took your sins and went to the cross and died for you and rose again from the dead. You can be saved tonight. You can go home tonight a child of God, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing for sure that you're going to heaven one day. At the end of this conversation, it took 4 hours that day. I felt as though I was being torn in two. And I eventually got away from him and breathed a big sigh of relief at the end of it. We got into the police car, went into Belfast. There had been a robbery or something, and we were chasing robbers or something like that. And I got out of the police car in Belfast, and as soon as I stepped out of the car, this man appeared in front of me and he said, "Son, have you been born again?" And I couldn't believe what was happening. I had Joe for 4 hours telling me, and this man just appears and keeps this going. And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, I've been born again." And then I looked at him and I said, "No, I haven't been born again." He said, "You must be born again." And he just disappeared. I never seen him again to this day. But I went home that night, and Joe had given me a little booklet home with me. It was only this thick, just a number of pages in it. And it talked about sin. It talked about Savior. It talked about salvation. It talked about sin. It showed me very clearly from the Word of God that I was a sinner. And because I was a sinner, I was already condemned. I didn't have to do anything else to go to hell. I was on my way to hell. It talked about the Savior. It said that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of men. He's the only name given under among heaven, given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. I used to think that there was salvation only in the Roman Catholic Church, but there wasn't. This book was telling me something different, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, that no church, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Orthodox, none of them can save us, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of men. And then it talked about salvation, telling us that if you would only ask God to forgive your sins and believe in Him, He can save you. And I came to the end of that little book, and you know, I knew I wanted my life changed. But I had tried to stop drinking so many times, I couldn't stop. It was killing me. I was going to kill somebody. I was driving a car. Everything was wrong. I was destroying my wife's life and my children's lives. I wanted saved, but I didn't know how. And I seen this little prayer, and it said, "If you want to be saved, pray this prayer." I'm ashamed to tell you that, because I didn't even know how to pray. I had never prayed in my life, except to a piece of plaster or a piece of wood. And here I was being asked to pray the most important prayer of my life. And I did it because I wanted Jesus Christ in my life now. And I prayed that prayer and I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And I went into the kitchen, I poured all of the alcohol down the sink, and I said, "Lord, I need your help." I said, "I can never do this on my own. I don't even know what the next step is. What do I do now?" I went to work the next morning and I just remembered what Joe had done. He came into the station and he called everybody, "I'm a born again Christian." Well, I did the same. And they all stood and laughed at me. They all did the same as they did with my friend. They all stood and had a right good laugh at me and made me feel that size. But you know that when the laughing stopped, they came to me and said, "You'll be back with us in 3 weeks. Don't worry, we'll organize a good party and you'll be back in 3 weeks. That was 26 years ago. I hope they're not waiting on me. And praise the Lord took me and He blessed me in the most wonderful way. You know something? I want to tell you this. I love my Savior very, very much. I love Him with all of my heart. I love Him with all of my mind and all of my soul and all of my strength. Now that I'm saved and serving Him, I want to do that right to the day that I die or He comes to take me home. I love Him so much. He has done so much for me. He's changed my life completely. He really has. Friends, you know, you sit here probably week after week and you listen to the ministry of God's Word, and praise the Lord that you do that. You have to take this step of faith. Step out in faith and believe in the Lord and accept Him into your life, and He'll change everything. He gives you a new start. Everything will change for you. It really will. I did that night. Told everybody in the police station, told Ian Paisley and everybody, and they were delighted for me. My friend Joe bought me a Bible. He gave me my first Bible. You know, I never had a Bible before. I didn't know that the Bible was the Word of God. I thought some man sat down and wrote this book. That's how ignorant I was. I didn't know that this is the infallible, inspired, and errant Word of God Himself. I didn't know that. Joe bought me my first Bible, and I sat down with it and I opened it. And I said, right, it's a big book, lots of pages here. Where do I begin? So I started in Genesis and I read to Revelation in 4 weeks. Understood nothing. So I went and did it again, thinking I would learn something. Understood nothing again. But then the Lord sent one of the elders from my church in Newton Arts Baptist Church, and a wonderful man. And he came, and one of the elders, he sat down with me, and he still sits down with me. Thank God for men like that who sit down with new believers and nurture us and help us and teach us. Is vitally important. If we don't help the new believer, it's not long before they go back again, back to the world. We must beside, we must draw alongside them and support them and pray with them and teach them the scriptures. And he did that for me. And for the next 6 years, I read the Word of God 17 hours every day. I couldn't stop reading the Word of God because I never had one before. I didn't know who God was. I knew nothing. I knew less than your children who go to the Sunday school. I didn't know nothing. I remember when I was growing up over in Scotland, and a lot of my friends at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, they would come out the house with their Bibles and nice and tidy. And I would say, where are you going? We're going to Sunday school. I said, what's that? They says, we go and we learn the Bible, we learn about Jesus. And I remember thinking, this deep desire I had in my heart, even at 7 and 8 years of age, I would love to listen to stories about Jesus Christ. Oh, how I would love that. But you know, I was never allowed to do that. It was Roman Catholic, but we never had a Bible. We were never allowed to go and learn anything like that there. So that wasn't going to happen for me. But now I had my own Bible and I was devouring the Word of God. I just wanted to know who this great God was, who would love me the way that he did. Now that I was saved, my wife saw me and she seen this transformation taking place. He was no longer drinking. She was really worried about me, so she was at this point. He wasn't drinking, he wasn't smoking, he wasn't using bad language. She phoned her sister, who was a believer, and she said, something's really strange is happening in my house. He doesn't drink, and he doesn't smoke, and he doesn't do this. And she started laughing and said, praise the Lord, maybe he's saved. But she didn't believe me when I told her I had been saved. Sunday was approaching, and I said to her, I'm going to buy a new suit. She said, why? You never wear suits. I said, Christians wear new suits to church. I said, I'm going to go and buy a new suit. She knew it was deadly serious then, because she knew a Scotsman wouldn't part with money that easy. So I went out and I bought the first suit that I ever owned. Sunday came, I only knew one church, and it was round the corner from me. And it was a Methodist church. And I got ready and I went to that Methodist church. I knew the minister, I'd met him once. He had been in my house because Jacqueline would send the children to the Sunday school there. And the time I met him in my house, I had drink in me. And he told me that I was a bad father for not looking after my children spiritually. And I threw him out of the house and told him not to come back. So this was a terrible start to my new Christian life. This was my first pastor. And I'd already thrown him out of the house. So I went to him and he seen me coming. And the look of horror on his face. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I've been saved. And he says, praise the Lord, come in. And for the next few weeks, I would settle down there. And then the Lord moved me and settled me down into another fellowship. But Jacqueline could see the transformation now that was taking place in my life. It was so serious. Everybody was talking about it. What, something's wrong with him. He must be sick. He's not doing this or that or the other. They didn't understand that the Lord had come into my life. Jacqueline was listening to me. I was trying to tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ. She was listening sometime. But, you know, after the life that I had put her through, she wasn't going to be fooled anymore. So she was finding it hard to take me serious at this point. But one day I found a little booklet, and this amazed me. I was reading through the scriptures at this time. I came across 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and it talked about the rapture of the church. It talked about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes the next time and how that he's only coming to the air to snatch away or to take away all of the church, the born-again believers. He's going to take them to heaven. And I was reading this, And it amazed me. I never knew anything like this. I didn't know that Jesus Christ was coming back again. And as I was reading this, it was amazing me that he was coming back. I was so happy when I read that he was coming back. And then horror struck as I continued to read. I read that he's only coming for those who are in Christ. He's only coming back for the ones who love him, for the ones who believe in him and accept him into their lives, serve him and follow him. You see, I thought he was coming back for everybody, but it said no. He's only coming back for the believers, those who are in Christ, those who are saved. Horror, realization struck. He's coming for me, but he's not coming for my family. My family is going to be separated. I'm never going to see them again. And I left this little book out, When Jesus Comes, it was called, by John Rice. And I read it and I highlighted everything. And Jacqueline, read this book. But she was stubborn. She wouldn't read it. And this night she went to bed and she couldn't sleep. And she came downstairs and she saw the book on the coffee table. And she said, I might as well read it. Then I can tell him I've read it. And she sat down and she read it and she realized that when Jesus Christ does come, because Jacqueline was born into a Christian family, although she was not a believer herself. As she sat reading this, she realized that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that her mother, her father, her sisters, her husband would be raptured and taken to glory, and she would be left behind with her, my children. They would all be left behind. And this broke her down. This spoke to her heart. And Jacqueline that night repented and accepted the Savior. 3 weeks later, my young daughter accepted the Lord Jesus Christ also. Then it was full steam ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. With a saved wife and a saved daughter, we were all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. We were serving him in many different ways within the community. But then the Lord reminded me about my family over in Scotland. And I had to go over to Scotland again to see my family. Sadly, it was for the funeral of my grandmother. And Jacqueline said, what do I do? We're going into a chapel. What do I do? Do I do anything? I said, look, you follow what I do. I said, we're not here to take part in any service. We're not here to sing to Mary or praise Mary. Do what I do. So we went in and we paid my grandmother her last respects. And at the end of the service, my father came to me and said, go away and never return here. We don't want you within this family ever again. And I said, why? They said, because we don't want Jesus Christ in our family. They were all alcoholics, you see. He didn't want anybody to disrupt this. And they said, go away and never come back here. Do not remind us of this ever again. And it was heartbreaking at that time that your mother and father wouldn't accept you into the family. I tried to keep in touch with them, but it was very difficult to have any communication with them. And then I got the call that my mother was dying. She had cancer. And we went over to the family house, the family home, and I went into the bedroom, and my mother was lying in the bed. And I was left on my own with her. Now, before they told me never to come back again, I had already told my mother, obviously, that you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ. Forget about all the rituals and all the sacraments and all the good works that you're trying to do. They'll just take you to hell. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I looked at her lying in bed, she was struggling for a breath. And I remember saying to her, Mum, all you need is Jesus. Just remember that. But there was no response. And then I took her by the hand, and you know, I told you I didn't know how to pray, and I really didn't know how to pray. But I said, Father, please help my mother. I says, don't let her die in front of me like this and go to hell. Please help her. Please save her. I said, she's been ignorant to the ways of God from the church that she's went to. She knows nothing. Please help her. And about 25 minutes later, she opened her eyes, and she was in a lot of pain, but we propped her up on the pillow. And she opened her eyes and she says to me, Donald, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And brothers and sisters, this is why I'm telling you, I love him so much. He has done so much for me within my family. He saved my mother from the brink of hell itself. He saved me from the brink of hell. That the Lord moved in my family that day and he saved my mother. And you know, I never had a relationship in this earth because of alcohol with my mother, but I'll see her again one day. You know, it was great to sit down with her one day, and would do a daily reading together, my mother would never have listened to anything about God. And we were able to open the scriptures and sit down and do daily readings with her before she went home to be with the Lord. A week later, she started to slip away again, and my sister said, "Mum, do you want me to get the priest?" There was a terrible, unhealthy respect for the priest within my home. The priest was God, as a God. And she says, "Do you want me to get the priest?" And she says, "No, I don't need him anymore." Mm-hmm. Do you know why, brothers? Do you know why she didn't need him? Because she now had a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That night she passed into glory. You know, many times I have thought about this. Many times I have thought about my mother and what happened that night. And I believe it goes something like this. As she lay minutes, I believe she was minutes from death that night. And I believe that the Holy Spirit ministered to her as I was praying. And I believe the Holy Spirit maybe brought back to her remembrance all the things that she had been doing to try and work her way into heaven. Because she worked in the charity shop within the chapel 6 days a week. She never missed going to the chapels, doing all these good works and all these good deeds. But brothers and sisters, the word of God tells us that our good works will only take us to hell. We are saved by faith in Christ alone, regardless of good works. When we're saved, do as many good works as you like. The Lord will accept them then. But he's not going to accept them towards your salvation. Because the work of Jesus Christ in the cross was a perfect work. And it's a completely finished work. And nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away from it. So I believe that my mother that night, she was asking herself the question, "I wonder, have I done enough good works? I wonder if all of the good works that I have done will take me to heaven." And then I believe that she maybe, after all the years of praying to Mary, as she lay there dying, "Where's Mary? After all these years of praying to you, where are you now when I need you? Maybe the priest, where's the priest? Where's the Pope?" She had been to Rome and Lourdes and all of these different places to worship. And now that she was passing out into eternity, there was nothing. No peace, no assurance, nothing. If you're trying to get to heaven through your works, you'll never have peace because you'll never be able to do enough. And then I believe that right at the last moment, the Holy Spirit reminded her of what I had told her. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And I believe that's exactly what happened in my mother. She realized that she could never be saved through all of those works. And she believed in the Savior. Friends, are you in the same position that my mother's in? Are you here tonight but you're trying to work your way to heaven? Is that what you're trying to do? Do you think that you're going to get there through your works? The Word of God tells us that you will never get there. That salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift that's not of works. It's nothing to do with works. No matter how many you do, it's a free gift from God, and he's offering it to you tonight. If you will come, if you will accept him into your life, he'll give you the forgiveness of sin. He will give you a home in heaven. You'll have a future, and what a future that is. That portion of scripture that I read earlier, this came alive in my life, in my daughter's life, in my wife's life, in my mother's life, and in every believer's life here tonight. Because, you know, the Lord, upon repentance, the Lord took that cold, stony heart out of her flesh. He took it away. That cold heart that won't let you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your heart becomes so hard and so cold that you can't accept him as your Savior. And the more you keep pushing him away, the harder and colder it gets until it's impossible to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord says, "I will take away that stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh." He said, "I'll give you a heart that loves me. I'll give you a heart that loves my Son. I'll give you a heart that loves the Word of God and loves the things of God." And he says, "I'll take away that old worldly spirit that you had. That old worldly spirit that loved nothing but alcohol and fun and games and all the rubbish that the world had to offer." He says, "I'll take away that spirit and I'll give you my Holy Spirit." That's what God done for me. and he did it for every believer in here. He took away the cold, stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh, a heart that would love him. Friends, God is offering this to you tonight. He's offering you a new start. It's a fresh start, really. You're being born again. Just by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being born spiritually. And it's free. It's absolutely free. And he's willing to do this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how difficult you find life. God is offering to you tonight a fresh start. He'll take away all the things that you've done before. He'll forgive you for all of them. And he'll give you a brand new start in Christ. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand up tonight and come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life? He'll give you hope. He really will. I didn't believe it either. But one day I took that step of faith because I realized I needed him. And praise the Lord that it's absolutely true. He changed my life and he'll change your life. Friends, I want to ask you, if you want to be saved, will you come? Will you take a step forward? Stand up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed by your friends who are sitting here. This is the most important decision of your life. You're inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life. You're going to make a statement tonight if you accept him. Are you willing? And do you want that fresh start? Do you want your sins forgiven? Are you willing to come forward and stand here and we will pray with you? We will lead you to the throne of grace. We will pray for your soul. Are you willing to do that? I'm going to ask you once more, and then I'm going to pass it over to Pastor David. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, just raise your hand. We can come with you. We can pray with you. Okay, now I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to pass over to Pastor David. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Don't be leaving the building tonight without Jesus Christ in your life. Let him come in. He'll change everything. And what a Savior I have. And I want to make sure tonight that you know him too. God bless you.